Judges 2:10 through Judges 3. All that generation also were gathered to their fathers, and another generation rose up after them who did not know the Lord, nor even the work which he had done for Israel. Then the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served the Baals, and they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods, from the gods of the peoples who were around them, and bowed down to them. So they provoked the Lord to anger. They abandoned the Lord, and served Baal, and the Ashtaroth. Then the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he handed them over to plunderers, and they plundered them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies around them, so that they could no longer stand against their enemies. Wherever they went, the hand of the Lord was against them, for evil, as the Lord had spoken, and just as the Lord had sworn to them, so that they were severely distressed. Then the Lord raised up judges, who saved them from the hands of those who plundered them. Yet they did not listen to their judges, for they committed infidelity with other gods and bowed down to them. They turned aside quickly from the way in which their fathers had walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do the same as their fathers. And when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge, and saved them from the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who tormented and oppressed them. But it came about, when the judge died, that they would turn back and act more corruptly than their fathers, in following other gods to serve them, and bow down to them. They did not abandon their practices or their obstinate ways. So the anger of the Lord burned against Israel. And he said, "Because this nation has violated my covenant which I commanded their fathers, and has not listened to my voice, I in turn will no longer drive out from them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died, in order to test Israel by them, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk in it as their fathers did, or not." So the Lord allowed these nations to remain, not driving them out quickly, and he did not hand them over to Joshua. Now these are the nations that the Lord left to test Israel by them, that is, all the Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars of Canaan, only in order that the generations of the sons of Israel might be taught war, those who had not experienced it previously. These nations are the five governors of the Philistines and all the Canaanites, and the Sidonians, and the Hivites, who lived on Mount Lebanon, from Mount Baal Hermon, as far as Lebo Hamath. They were left to test Israel by them, to find out if they would obey the commandments of the Lord, which he had commanded their fathers through Moses. The sons of Israel lived among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and they took their daughters for themselves as wives, and gave their own daughters to their sons, and served their gods. So the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and they forgot the Lord their God, and served the Baals and the Ashtaroth. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, so that he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, and the sons of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim for 8 years. But the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord, and the Lord raised up a deliverer for the sons of Israel to set them free, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. When he went to war, the Lord handed over to him Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, so that he prevailed over Cushan-Rishathaim. Then the land was at rest for 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. Now the sons of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And he gathered to himself the sons of Ammon and Amalek. And he went and defeated Israel, and they took possession of the city of the palm trees. And the sons of Israel served Eglon the king of Moab for 18 years. But when the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for them, Ehud, the son of Gera, the Benjaminite, a left-handed man. And the sons of Israel sent tribute by him to Eglon, the king of Moab. Now Ehud made himself a sword which had two edges, a cubit in length, and he strapped it on his right thigh under his cloak. Then he presented the tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now Eglon was a very fat man. And it came about, when he had finished presenting the tribute, that Ehud sent people away who had carried the tribute. But he himself turned back from the idols which were at Gilgal, and said, I have a secret message for you, O king. And the king said, Silence! And all who were attending left him. Then Ehud came to him while he was sitting in his cool roof chamber alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God for you. And he got up from his seat. Then Ehud reached out with his left hand and took the sword from his right thigh and thrust it into his belly. The hilt of the sword also went in after the blade, and the fat closed over the blade because he did not pull the sword out of his belly, and the refuse came out. Then Ehud went into the vestibule, and shut the doors of the roof chamber behind him, and locked them. When he had left, the king's servants came and looked, and behold, the doors of the roof chamber were locked, and they said, Undoubtedly, he is relieving himself in the cool room. So they waited until it would have been shameful to wait longer, but behold, he did not open the doors of the roof chamber. So they took the key and opened them. And behold, their master had fallen to the floor, dead. Now Ehud escaped while they were hesitating, and he passed by the idols and escaped to Sarah. And when he arrived, he blew the trumpet in the hill country of Ephraim, and the sons of Israel went down with him from the hill country, and he was leading them. Then he said to them, Pursue them, for the Lord has handed your enemies, the Moabites, over to you. So they went down after him and took control of the crossing places of the Jordan opposite Moab, and did not allow anyone to cross. They struck and killed about 10,000 Moabites at that time, all robust and valiant men, and no one escaped. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land was at rest for 80 years. Now after him came Shamgar, the son of Anath, who struck and killed 600 Philistines with an ox goad, and he also saved Israel. Matthew 23. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, whatever they tell you, do, and comply with it all. But do not do as they do, for they say things and do not do them. And they tie up heavy burdens and lay them down on people's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as their finger. And they do all their deeds to be noticed by other people, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments. And they love the places of honor at banquets, and the seats of honor in the synagogues, and personal greetings in the marketplaces, and being called rabbi by the people. But as for you, do not be called rabbi, for only one is your teacher, and you are all brothers and sisters. And do not call anyone on earth your father, for only one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called leaders, for only one is your leader, that is, Christ. But the greatest of you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut the kingdom of heaven in front of the people, for you do not enter it yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you travel around on sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, Whoever swears by the temple, that is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple is obligated. You fools and blind men, which is more important, the gold or the temple that sanctified the gold? And you say, whoever swears by the altar, that is nothing, but whoever swears by the offering that is on it is obligated. You blind men, which is more important, the offering or the altar that sanctifies the offering? Therefore, the one who swears by the altar swears both by the altar and by everything on it, and the one who swears by the temple swears both by the temple and by him who dwells in it, and the one who swears by heaven swears both by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others, you blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of it may also become clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. So you too outwardly appear righteous to people, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you build the tombs for the prophets, and decorate the monuments of the righteous. And you say, if we had been living in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partners with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. So you testify against yourselves, that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Philip, then, measure the guilt of your fathers. You snakes, you offspring of vipers, how will you escape the sentence of hell? Therefore, behold, I am sending you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will flog in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, so that upon you will fall the guilt of all the righteous bloodshed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Truly I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who have been sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on you will not see me until you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. First Timothy 3. It is a trustworthy statement if any man aspires to the office of overseer. It is a fine work he desires to do. An overseer, then, must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, skillful in teaching, and not overindulging in wine, not a bully, but gentle, not contentious, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? And not a new convert, so that he will not become conceited and fall into condemnation incurred by the devil. And he must have a good reputation with those outside the church, so that he will not fall into disgrace and the snare of the devil. Deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not insincere, not prone to drink much wine, not greedy for money, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. These men must also first be tested, then have them serve as deacons, if they are beyond reproach. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Deacons must be husbands of one wife, and good managers of their children and their households. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one should act in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. Beyond question, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Proverbs 9:1-9. Wisdom has built her house. She has carved out her seven pillars. She has prepared her food. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her attendants. She calls out from the tops of the heights of the city. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. To him who lacks understanding, she says, "Come, eat of my food, and drink of the wine I have mixed. Abandon your foolishness and live, and proceed in the way of understanding." One who corrects a scoffer gets dishonor for himself, and one who rebukes a wicked person gets insults for himself. Do not rebuke a scoffer, or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise person, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise person, and he will become still wiser. Teach a righteous person, and he will increase his insight. Psalm 94. Lord, God of vengeance, shine forth. Rise up, judge of the earth. Pay back retribution to the proud. How long, Lord, shall the wicked? How long shall the wicked triumph? They pour out words. They speak arrogantly. All who do injustice boast. They crush your people, Lord, and afflict your inheritance. They kill the widow and the stranger. They murder the orphans. They have said, "The Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob perceive." Pay attention, you stupid ones among the people. And when will you understand, foolish ones? He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? He who disciplines the nations, will he not rebuke? He who teaches mankind knowledge? The Lord knows human thoughts, that they are mere breath. Blessed is the man whom you discipline, Lord, and whom you teach from your law, so that you may grant him relief from the days of adversity, until a pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not abandon his people, nor will he abandon his inheritance. For judgment will again be righteous, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Who will stand up for me against evildoers? Who will take his stand for me against those who do injustice? If the Lord had not been my help, my soul would soon have dwelt in the land of silence. If I should say, "My foot has slipped," your faithfulness, Lord, will support me. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your comfort delights my soul. Can a throne of destruction be allied with you, one which devises mischief by decree? They band themselves together against the life of the righteous, and condemn the innocent to death. But the Lord has been my refuge, and my God the rock of my refuge. He has brought back their injustice upon them, and he will destroy them in their evil. The Lord our God will destroy them.